Well, good morning. Keep coming in. I hope everybody got some snacks. How was the first breakout?
Good.
Thumbs up?
Nice.
Okay. Very good. Well, we're glad that you're here on a Saturday morning. And my name is Jeff Ward. This is my beautiful wife, Christy.
Hello.
And you're going to love hearing from her more than me, for sure. I'm going to let her introduce the family. But as we get started, just want to pray for our time. Glad that you're here. And this is the Revelation End Times seminar, so you're in the right spot. Just kidding. Okay, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this day. I just thank you for the parents that are in this room, grandparents. Just thank you for just openness to just want to be faithful as we parent our kids, and we don't want to compare ourselves to other people or let our kids be our scorecard. We just want faithfulness to be our scorecard. So just pray for these folks, the families that they represent, the kids that are in these families, Lord, and just let the truth of your word be shared today, not man's wisdom. We didn't come here for that. And so just help us to just enjoy this time and bring you honor and glory in all that is said and done. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. And I hope you got a handout as you came in. If you didn't, would you just raise your hand and maybe Graham could walk them around. So, okay. That looks like everybody got them. All right.
Okay, sounds great. So welcome. Excited you guys are here. What a cool conference. So just real quickly, there'll be a slide up here of our family. And so just to introduce that, our kiddos, we have two boys, Hayden and Hunter. And they are 21 and 23. So Hayden graduated from Oklahoma State. Whoop, go Pokes. So excited about the OU Bedlam win. And Hunter.
Yes, we are. We get to keep the trophy forever.
That's right. And Hunter is our 21-year-old, and he is at Texas Tech. So go Red Raiders. And we're just here to share a little bit about kind of our story, some highs and lows, but just a huge disclaimer. There are no parenting experts, and we are certainly not parenting experts. So God has showed us a lot through raising these two young men, but no parenting experts. So we're just going to jump in.
You pointed at me just then. Were you including me in the raising those
yes,
boys?
No parenting.
Yes. Okay. So, the next slide. So, you know, you hear about melting pots, and when you think of a melting pot, you know, everything goes into the pot and it kind of blends together. Families are not melting pots. They're more salad bowls. That's actually a poke bowl. Probably a better description for our family. but everybody maintains their distinctiveness, and our differences are really make us unique and make us, you know, the tomatoes are tomatoes and the avocados are avocados. And I hope there's not kale in your salad. But we keep our distinctiveness and it gives our family flavor. And so here's two things that we need to start, kind of lay the foundation with this morning, which is that God has a part and we have a part in raising kids who are wired differently than ourselves. And God's part is design. He has uniquely designed, gifted, wired our kids in ways that might be surprising to you. I know we always thought we'd have kids that are just like us, and yet it felt like many days was whiteboard, kind of starting all over. I see a few nods. So God has created each of us in a unique way. Ephesians 2:10 says, before the foundations of the earth, he made us in his workmanship and gave us purpose and meaning with good deeds to do and to walk in them. And then our part is really to shepherd. So our role is to just faithfully steward the gifts that God has given, the wiring that our kids have. And that's Psalm 127:3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. And so key principle is our role as parents is to shepherd the child God gave us, not necessarily the one that we expected.
Yeah, so just to explain a little bit about our boys, I was like trying to find some pictures to explain their differences and just even how they're different from us. So that first picture of Hunter and the funny glasses, I think the night before the historical presentation at school was due, think historical, like George Washington, that kind of thing. The night before he comes home, he's like, hey, Mom, I've got a presentation tomorrow, and my historical figure, I'm Billy Idol. And I was like, oh, and I need a costume.
Not Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I need a costume for Billy Idol. And I was like, oh, okay, like next week. He's like, tonight. So we kind of scavenged around and fed some, you know, found something. But Hunter is definitely our creative, artsy kind of guy. And then Hayden on the other slide is our kind of sports guy. Loved to be outside growing up all the time. Super competitive. Loved to play all sports. So just even their wirings are completely different. And then we're wired completely different as well.
As you can see from this slide, you know, we knew pretty early on that Hayden was wired really differently. He is our wheeler, dealer, hustler, entrepreneur. You know, at like 12, he would go into the thrift store and buy like a Dallas Stars jersey, and then he would flip it and sell it. Like, he'd buy it for 10 bucks, sell it for 100. I mean, just that's just his wiring. And so I would grab this picture because here he's trying to convince his grandpa to invest in virtual tennis shoes. So this was back, they were some kind of virtual tennis shoe. You buy the tennis shoe, you walk around in real life, and somehow that gets you money. And so he was trying to get his grandpa to invest in another pair of shoes that he could own and they could share the profits. So that is Hayden. Yeah. And even to this day, he's 23 and he's running some kind of crypto empire. And every time we ask him, I go, how are you making this money? He goes, and like 30 minutes later, I go, I don't understand anything you just said. Just tell me it's legal and you're paying taxes. So that's Hayden. Okay? So very wired, very differently. We are not that kind of risk taker, are we? And then our other son, Hunter, like Christy just said, he's our creative one. You know, he's at Texas Tech right now, and he's got a little radio show out there. He does voiceover work. People will hire him to, like, script out a character in a video game. Okay. And so just that's a whole other world.
He sings in the Tech Tones.
Oh, yeah, the acapella group, you know. Yeah. And so he's loving life and has found his people. And so that is Hunter. And so as we were thinking about today and just, like, how do we give you just a few walking away principles, I thought of Dick Fosbury. Does anybody know who Dick Fosbury is? Just right off. Oh, okay.
What?
There you go. the athletes. So Dick Fosbury, back in the early 60s, participated in high jump. And his college coach, he was a tall, kind of lanky guy. And back then, the way that they would approach the high jump bar was they would run forward and kind of just step over it, you know, as they leaped. Well, his body just wasn't conducive to that. And so he kind of failed and he struggled, and the coach said, hey, what about a different sport? You know, just all those kinds of things. And he ultimately said, no, I like this sport, I'm going to do it. And he developed his own style, which is now called the Fosbury flop. So he would run up to the bar and kind of push his body over the top and come down in that way. And it became, you know, the gold standard, especially after he won gold in the 1968 Olympics. And so the acronym FLOP we thought would be helpful as we talk about kids that are wired differently than us. And so in terms of flexing and learning and opening and praying. Okay, next slide. So the first one, flex. So, and you can follow along with your handout, which could be helpful. And so the principle there is just that parenting is all about transitions. So around the room, who's got young, like, toddlers? Oh, okay, wow, okay. Wow, bless your heart. And then who's got teens? Teens, okay. And then who's got older, more like adult children? Okay, there's a few. Okay, so you guys know parenting is all about transitions, right? You kind of start out when they're a baby. You know, I remember when we went to, like, Steak and Ale, we had the baby next to us. It was our first outing, and, you know, Hayden was just, you know, brand new baby. And I just remember the crying, and all of a sudden Christy disappeared and I didn't see her again, you know, for like 30 minutes. I was like, our lives are changing. Yeah. And so you're caretakers, right? Your job is to keep your kid alive, you know, fed and, you know, all those sorts of things. And then you kind of move into this toddler phase where that's the whole different parenting set of rules. And your job really is to keep them alive from you. You know, right? I mean, like, if you're like me, you're playing the cop role. It's like, I am going to grab you by the ears. So you got to move into that phase. Discipline is important. Shepherding hearts is important in that stage. And then coaching. So, you know, at the teen years, everybody kind of loses their mind just a little bit, right? Everybody goes a little crazy. And so you're moving to this coaching phase where you're really trying to help your kids think well, think biblically, right? So that they can apply those values and principles to the different scenarios that they come into contact with. And then as your kids age, like ours, 21 and 23, we're more in this consulting phase where we've got more of a friendship and it's more of advice. And hey, you're making your own decisions. Hopefully you're buying your own car insurance. That's real. And adding a child, you know, on top of parenting that's already hard, who is wired differently, just makes things even a little bit more complicated, a little harder. So my natural inclination is to roll up my sleeves and paddle harder. If we're in the canoe as a family, I like to paddle, 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 and I like to try to keep, you know, moving my strategy forward. And if your kids are paddling at a different pace or in a different direction, you're just going to be going in circles, right? And so how do we paddle together as a family?
So the first principle of flex is just to let go of your dreams and expectations and embrace God's design. And so just trusting God with the child that God has given to you and come to peace with the fact that God has wired your kids different than you expected. So for me, this was huge. I think that I was a little bit of a people pleaser growing up, and so really wanted to make good grades. I wanted to get the school accolades, and I quickly learned that my boys were different, even in their toddler years. I got the, you know, at the school, I got the, hey, can we talk to you after class for a minute? Or, hey, are you available for a phone call tonight? And I thought really quickly, okay, these boys are not people pleasers, right? Like, they are not, they're not going to get the gold star. They're going to get the red dot for the day or whatever it was. And so for me, just really quickly, I think God was like, hey, you know, I had to let go of my expectations for my boys that they would somehow be wired like me and embrace God's design for them, which was really different. And as I thought about that, I thought about biblical examples, right? Like, we think about Adam and Eve with Cain and Abel and how they were wired differently. We think about Isaac and Rebekah and how they had Jacob and Esau. And then when I think about expectations, I immediately think of sweet Mary, right? And just thinking about Mary and her expectation of marriage to Joseph and what that was going to hold, and, you know, just excited about that. And then this angel came and said, hey, you know what? You're a virgin. You're going to have this baby. And just, you know, wow, how her expectations flipped instantly. And I thought, I've often thought about Mary and what my response would be, but I love her response in Luke 1:38. She responded and said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And so through the years, I've often prayed that I would be like Mary, that I would remember that these are the children that God has entrusted me with. These are these boys God has entrusted me with. And when I do that, when I let go and trust God, I have a peace that doesn't come naturally to me. I can be anxious about the boys and raising them and decisions that we make and decisions they make. And so when I let go, God gives me a peace that can only come from him. And just a great verse that I memorized that was super helpful to me in parenting was John 14:27. Peace I leave you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. Because raising kids, I don't know about you guys, but there was a lot of moments where I was troubled and afraid. So
yeah. So the second principle, part of the flexing, is just not comparing your kids with others, man. And you know, it can feel a little bit like a scorecard. I mean, social media, especially, you go, oh, man, you know, look at Johnny. He's going off to Harvard, right? And our kid is going to Oklahoma State, the Harvard of the South. You know, but you find yourself, right, kind of comparing, you know, these things. And so I picked this picture. I love this picture because, right, we all get those Christmas cards. We're about to start getting them. And I'm sorry if you've already had your Christmas pictures made and their kids are all smiley. But that's real. Right? I mean, you're trying to pose your kids and, you know, they're holding the J-O-Y and, you know, screaming their heads off. And I'm
like, yeah, I got to jump in here, Jeff, because I was thinking this is generation to generation, right? And so for you all that have phones, when we had babies, we didn't have cameras on our phones, right? So to even get a decent picture, we had to get a roll, you know, of you know,
from Walgreens, you get 22 pictures that are all blurry.
All blurry, and you just hope for one good one. So you guys have it easy with technology today.
Yeah, and you know, there was a guy on our staff, Jim Wimberly. Some of y'all in here might know him. He retired at 80 from our staff, and he was just a great sounding board. I mean, I'd be pulling my hair out, and I'd go, I got to find Jim, because you don't go into Jim's office without him praying for you and just, you know, reminding you that you can breathe, you know, just all those things. And he had this great quote that has resonated with me to today, and he just said, you know, sometimes as parents, we give ourselves too much credit when things go well, and we give ourselves too much blame when they don't, right? Like, our scorecard is faithfulness, and that's why I love the parable of the talents. It's one of my favorite parables. And especially you get, you know, to the end, you've got the guy who was, the master gives one talent, he gives two talents to another one and five to another one. They invest those talents, or at least two of them do. And when the master returns, I like this part where he says, and he also who had the two talents came forward saying, master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. You weren't the five-talent guy? I'm not holding you to a five-talent standard. You're the two-talent guy. I'm holding you to a two-talent standard. What did you do with what I gave you? And then I'm going to set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And so we just, we are faithfulness is the scorecard. That's on your handout if you want to write it in. And not whether our kids go to a certain school or do a certain thing, or they don't get a red dot, they get a green dot, or you don't go to an open house at school and see your kid's name on the teacher section. I know that happens. That was real.
Yeah,
so
that was
there
real.
You go.
Yeah. All right. So the third principle of flex is just maintaining the relationship. And so this is just a priority, right? It's our priority to parent, but also to protect the relationship going forward, because these kids that you all said, a lot of you have toddlers, a lot of you have elementary age, right? A lot of you have teens, but this protecting this relationship is important, and we can look back and see this now as we have one who's graduated from college and one who is in college. And when I think about protecting the relationship, I mean, automatically this Ephesians 4:29 comes to mind, which just says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And immediately I think of that, and I think about how, honestly, we blew it, you know, a lot of times. I mean, I think of a time when one of our sons was a teenager, and I thought he was turning in his math homework, and the teacher was like, hey, you know, I think he's missing 17 assignments. So the way that I handled that was not probably with the most grace. My tone wasn't nice. My volume certainly wasn't appropriate. And so
on the other hand, was calm, cool, and collected. No, it's not true.
Yeah. And so I think just modeling for our boys, you know, and when we use that tone, when my volume was really high, just going, hey, guys, forgive me. That was not God's best, right? And so just modeling that for them. Over the years, we learned together that it matters less what their struggles are, but the key thing is to keep them talking to you. And so that was just so important, keeping that window open where they felt like they could come to us during hard times and difficulties. And so the way that we kept reminding them to do that is by reminding them that God loves them unconditionally and that we love them unconditionally. And so I would often say, instead of saying we're disappointed in you, I would say, hey, we're disappointed in the choices that you made or in that choice. We're not, you know, God has designed you and we love you, but we are disappointed in that choice. And then just remind them of God's grace, right? Like we are just, I mean, as parents, I mean, grace upon grace upon grace as we try to raise these children in a way that honors the Lord. So just reminding our kids of God's grace in their lives and that we love them unconditionally was huge. And just a reminder of that is Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our goal is to have great conversations, like I said. And we see this play out now. I had a funny story this week. Our son at Texas Tech, Hunter, called me, and he's like, Mom, quick question. I'm at Walmart. And I was like, what's up? And he was like, how do you get the taco meat to taste taco-y? And I was like, I'm confused, like salt, pepper. And he goes, no, you know, like when you make it at home. And I was like, a taco packet? And he was like, oh, a packet. And I was like, yes. He's like, where do I find that? So just those sweet conversations. Like he called Jeff a couple weekends ago and had a question about a roommate situation. Somebody had eaten some of his food. And he was like, hey, should I let this go? Should I say something? And so just that open relationship that, you know, he can call about problems or call about little things. I think that is important, just the priority of maintaining that relationship.
That's good. So let's take a minute with the next slide and let y'all talk back to us. But I had to include this picture that Hunter made from school, brought home, where he said that he's the silent type. He's not the silent type. He's the one that always got in trouble for talking. Mm-hmm. He's got fast reflexes, too, I guess, around his hairline. And then that's his good hand, just in case you were wondering. But tell us, speak back to us just a minute. Like, is there just a fun way or a challenging way that your kid is wired differently than you? I don't mind calling out people like, introverted. Okay.
Introverted.
Which is different.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So she's 13 and I'm like, what's going on? She's like, hmm. Yeah. And then what will happen is like every 3 months, she'll just like break down and then tell me all the things.
It's a fire hose.
Why don't you tell me
on
a regular basis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. I'm sure a lot of people saw people nodding their heads. What else? Is there anything else?
Messy.
Really messy. Oh, okay. Forgetful. Okay. I forgot I made that mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Double whammy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about, Mom. So that's good. That's good. Anything else just come to mind?
That's me. Yeah. And Hayden was our strong-willed one. Yeah. I mean, just, yeah.
Stubborn,
like you would say, don't toe the line. And he would literally put his foot or toes over the line. You know, like, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So anyway, yes, just an example of all the ways that our kids are wired differently than us. Let's move on to L of flop, which is just learn. And the key principle there is just becoming a student of your kids, right? I mean, to learn that your daughter is an introvert and that she tends to slow play the information, or that your kid is messy and forgetful, and just being a student of that. And so learning your child, studying their passions and interests, seeking the advice of others, community, we'll talk more about that. But you know, a shepherd has to study the sheep that they're shepherding, right? They gotta know, oh, that one is prone to wander over there. That one stays close, you know, to the parent sheep, you know, all those sorts of things. And so what I love is this Luke 2 passage, which is a long passage about Jesus as a 12-year-old or so. And they go to Jerusalem. Y'all probably know this story. And they participate in the feasts. And then, you know, the family is traveling back, you know, to home. And they get 2 days away from Jerusalem, and they're like, oh, where's our kid who happens to be the savior of mankind? And they're like, you know, and so they're, I mean, you just got to wonder about the dynamics of Mary and Joseph. But they're like, okay, where's Jesus? And nobody, everybody's looking at each other. And so they go all the way back, right, to Jerusalem. And it says in this passage that it takes them like 3 days or maybe one day. I don't know. You could read the story. But it takes them a long time, and they finally find him at the synagogue, and he's actually, you know, mixing it up with the religious leaders and sharing some really insightful truths, and they're wondering about his teaching ability and his, you know, just the way that he has this spiritual insight. And so, you know, they're running around, and finally, you know, Mary finds him and says, you know, what happened? Like, Jesus, and he says, hey, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And so, interesting enough, even the Savior of the world, I still think that's poor communication. Probably not a sin, but, you know, I'm like, tell your parents I'm going to the synagogue. But you don't want your kids to ask you this question, right? Like, why were you looking? Why did you not know that I was an introvert? Did you not know that? Did you not know that I'm not great with groups? Did you know? Why did you not know that I get antsy, right, when I'm, you know, in a certain situation? Or you don't know that I don't love sports. You signed me up for 2 sports. You know, and so just how can we be students and really understand more about our kids' wiring? So, yeah, that's it. Next up on the learn.
That's great. Yeah. So on learn, just this first principle is just sharing insights with your kids. And so, again, just learning, like Jeff said, about how they are, who they are, about how they're wired, and then how God is shaping them. So we would often just ask our boys, and we would just say, you know, like, hey, what are some challenges that you're facing at school or with friends or in sports? And then also, hey, what are some things that, you know, you feel like are going well for you right now? And I think Hunter had a funny story. One time we asked him, he was like, everything's going well for me, right? Like, everything's
well,
like,
yeah, I was teaching him to pray, and yeah. we were using that acronym, ACTS, yeah. Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, yeah. Supplication, yeah. And we got to confession. And he goes, I've had a near-perfect day. I don't have anything on this. I go, let me help you with that.
That must be nice. Yeah, so I was like, that's great. And so I'm just
by the way, we did get our kids' permission to share these stories with you. So
yes, we did. Yes, from these boys, yes. And so just, and that can be anything. I mean, your kid might be somebody who sits with the kid who's alone or doesn't have a friend. Your kid might be a question asker, right? Like, there are so many positives. Sometimes we might think of them negatively, which sometimes I did, but always, you know, looking for a positive. With my strong-willed one, sometimes I would have to pray, Lord, please help me think of a positive, a way to encourage, because there were definitely seasons when there was a lot of discipline and a lot of negativity. So I had to pray sometimes and ask God, help me to be creative in the way that I can encourage. I'm a natural encourager, so I definitely had to think
about that. Right, I mean, because that strong will really comes, can be a positive.
It can be a great thing.
When there's peer pressure and other kids want, you know, them to do something, and so that could be a positive thing.
Yeah. So just even with Hunter, he is definitely, because he's that creative, artsy guy, he loves to slow down and take things in, and we tend to be a pretty fast-moving family, and Jeff and I are pretty fast-paced, and so even just the way that he's wired, like I remember a trip, we went to Washington, D.C., we were at the Holocaust Museum, and it was about, I guess it was about 45 minutes in, and Hayden, our older son, called and said, hey, I'm waiting on you guys downstairs. And I was like, yeah, at the exit. And I was like, oh, you're finished. And he was like, yep. And so I called Hunter. It was a three-story museum. I called Hunter, and I was like, hey, Hunter, I think Hayden's finished. You know, are you wrapping up? And he's like, Mom, where are you? I'm on the first floor. Of three floors. Like he was reading every single plaque and he was like, you're missing so much. Like you're not reading this. Like you're just walking by these amazing displays. And so there's just a sweetness in that that Hunter's reminded us over the years about just stopping and waiting and, you know, just really understanding things, which is so sweet. And then Hayden, even though he is really strong-willed, the great thing about that is that he is naturally a leader. And so the way that's played out through over the years is just, especially with young kids. And so just seeing him interact with kids here at Watermark or on a family trip to Haiti, I mean, he would be the one with two kids hanging off his shoulders and holding one and playing soccer and just that wiring that some people would see as negative, like that strong will, just how God's given him that leadership chip has been really sweet to see. So I think it's empowering for kids to hear, to be reminded of the positives, how we see that God is shaping them. And I think that's just a really valuable thing. And then as well, the challenges. And so I think sometimes we would talk about the challenges, but I think it's important to talk about those with your kids, like Jeff said, to ask them, hey, what are your struggles? What are you struggling with? How can we pray for you in that area? So as I thought about this, I thought just like any good coach, whether you play soccer or football or baseball, a coach is going to help you, right? They're going to give you tips and tricks. And so I think for our kids, talking about those challenges and explaining how they can better understand those is a really great thing. So even Hayden now is a 23-year-old. His roommate has a terrible cat, JJ. Oh, it's terrible. And JJ has claws, and he puts holes in his shirt, and he gets frustrated all the time. And so I'm like, hey, Hayden, you can have a tendency, because you're not patient, to be abrasive in the way that you handle your roommate's cat. And so even now at 23, I feel like we're still trying to help him kind of understand about the challenges of his lack of patience and how that can play out and how the friendship is more important than the cat, technically. And then with Hunter, just like I said, the people-pleasing can be a good thing because he cares what other people think. But because he cares what other people think, sometimes that causes him to tell people what they want to hear instead of telling them necessarily the truth. And so I think for both of our boys, talking through those things can help them understand who they are and that God knows us and he knows our thoughts. And so just reminding them, like, hey, sometimes this might be a secret or you don't think God knows these challenges, but he intimately knows us. And so we would just remind them of Psalms 139:1-4, which just says, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So just a sweet reminder of scripture.
It's good. And so we also, I'm really practical. And when it comes to learning my kids, I needed some help. So we also wanted to learn even like how the mind of a child with ADHD works. You know, so we were like, is he lying to us because he's lying, or is he lying because he's moving on to the next thing? And it was super helpful. So we actually had a counselor who understood the kind of the mind sit down with us and go, hey, practically, this is how he thinks. This is some coping techniques that you guys can do together. You know, the role playing and some of the things that we did, really helpful.
That was super helpful.
So there are some really great outside resources like that. And then there's just some other books. And these are on your app, too, by the way. But parenting, Paul Tripp's book was great. You know, when the kids, when the boys were older and in school, if y'all have done StrengthsFinder, many of y'all done StrengthsFinder? There's actually a StrengthsFinder for students. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really good. And it gives them labels that helps them become more self-aware of their wiring and how it relates to homework and turning in grades and accountability and all those things. Really, really good. Treasure Tree is really terrific. Power of Praying Parent, depending on the age of your kids. Birth order book. And then the table topics, you know, dinner time seemed to be a really great opportunity for us to sit around as a family. And we had this thing called sweet and sour. Like, tell us the sweet of your day. Oh, awesome. Johnny invited me to play with him at the playground. Or the sour, right? Oh, you know, I got in trouble with the teacher. And so those were really great opportunities. And then sometimes there were just different topics. And so like these little table topics, we literally kept it right next to the kitchen table. And we just pull out one. And it got some conversation going. And so those are some great resources. And I know that you guys probably have some great resources. So shout them out. Is there something that you really, really like that you would want the room to know about? A book or a resource or program or something like that?
For girls, Carrie Kempakis has a lot of great books on teen girls.
Carrie?
Oh, okay, cool.
Kempakis.
She's written like four of them.
Oh, nice.
Oh, right.
Okay, terrific.
Cool.
Okay. What else? Anything else that you guys have liked or that you use? Yeah.
This isn't a book, but like trying to get your kids to have other peer Christians, like middle school and up.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Other peers. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there might be even other parents, you know, with kids that are similarly situated, similarly wired, that you go to and you go, hey, this is going on, and how have you handled this? Just best practices. Anything else? Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Catechism for kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you can even download a free version of that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's terrific. What else? Anything? Intentional Father by John Tyson. That's good. Okay, awesome. Okay, next on Learn. Let's hit this one. So let community and others speak in as you learn and adjust on your parenting. And so we have been blessed here at Watermark to be in some intergenerational community groups. So like right now, for example, our other members of our community group are older than us. So we have some in their mid-60s, even early 70s, that are now grandparents. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little helpful to have folks that are two or three steps ahead of you. And so that has been a blessing to us. And I'll give you a funny story. So again, my wheeler dealer hustler child, Hayden, you know, he's a teenager, and it was kind of that time when, you know, you get a job so you can afford gas to put in your car and all that. Well, he could make money. Like, he kind of had this Midas touch, and he goes like, Dad, I don't need a job. I was like, go to the mall, apply at Foot Locker. I want you to get a job that you don't like, work for a boss you don't like, you got to get up at 7 in the morning, you know, all those sorts of things, right? He's like, I don't need that. I don't need the money. And so then it became about character building, right? Like, hey, job is about character building, and, you know, it also shows you your wiring and what you're good at and the things that you don't like. And anyway, we were just in this, like, tussle, I mean, magnitude.
Yeah.
So I remember going to a community group one night with these guys and older guys, and, you know, they just kind of listen, you know, because they've been there, right? And they kind of smile. I'd be like, I can't get Hayden to get a job. And so one of the guys in our community group just leans back, and he goes, you know, Jeff, he goes, you're right. You're right to want Hayden to have a job to build character and all the things that you've said. But I can teach any kid to show up at Foot Locker, you know, for a shift. I can't teach that other wiring, right? Those other skills that he has, that entrepreneurial spirit. So let's figure out some ways to parent with his style and still build in those character traits. And so, like, even that, it was just a breath of fresh air for me pulling my hair out, because I'm paddling the canoe the way I want to paddle it and going, okay. And so we sat down and we figured out, like, different kinds of jobs, you know, that he could do that would still, you know, gain those kinds of skills. And so community is a super helpful way to just know that you're not crazy. There'll be things that work and things that don't. And so there might be things that are different for your kids as you study them. And so I'll tell you one example. We used to talk a lot about, like, family chapel. And so I don't know if y'all have heard of, like, there's, you know, families that actually sit down, they do, you know, they sing a hymn and they read a scripture, and they have some Devo time, and then they pray together. We tried that. It was a colossal failure.
No.
You know, and so the kids are running around. They usually end up in a fight between themselves.
Yeah, touching each other.
Oh, yeah, don't touch me. It just didn't work. I mean, the way our kids were wired. And I remember feeling like a lot of guilt around that and just going, what in the world? Like, you know, you're supposed to do family chapel. And so long story short, I stole an idea from Dan Truman at Chick-fil-A, where he does these leadership talks with objects. And so I just got a bag, and we started putting objects in there. Like, I'll give you one example. Like, you know, the masks that fall out of the – well, you hope they don't fall out of the airplane, but they're there. You know, you're taught to put them on yourself before you put them on others. And so I'd pull the mask out, and I go, boys, let's talk about a scripture verse around how we lead ourselves well. And until we lead ourselves well, we can't, you know, right – activate on some of these other principles that we've been talking about. And so even to this day, it's funny, I still have that bag with all those objects, and you know, I'll pull them out and they'll remember. You know, it might be the blood pressure cuff, it might be the compass when we talked about true north, and we, you know, and all those sorts of things. And so find what works for your family, and don't like put this guilt trip on yourself if it doesn't look just like somebody else. And so that's one example. Sports is another. Technology can be another, about, hey, this child is just wired in a way where technology isn't really a good thing right now. Maybe good for your kid. So there's all of that. And so, Christy, do you have some other examples?
Oh, yeah. I think I was just thinking through community. It can also be just good friends, right? It can be, like we talked about, it can be authors that you guys shared some with us, Instagram, some great things like you said. And then just counselors, medical professionals, that can be the wider, broader community. And I know for me, I think Jeff mentioned earlier, one of our sons has ADHD. And so just really finding another mom who had a son with ADHD really helped me, because sometimes I just couldn't figure out. Like, I was like, because I don't, that's not my struggle, I would just think, oh my goodness, is this normal, right? Like, and just having another parent that I could call, and she would kind of talk me off the ledge and be like, oh yeah, my son's done that too. Or, you know, she was familiar with it, was really helpful to me. And so I think community here at Watermark, but also just the broader sense of community.
Yeah, that's good. Even just having people pray with you. They may not have the answers, but just to go, man, that sounds like you're really frustrated. Let's just pray about that.
Yeah, and as I thought of that, I was thinking just that Proverbs 13:20, right? Which just said, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So
that's great. Okay, so we already talked about kind of resources that you guys have found helpful. So we'll move on to O for open. And open, the principle there, the key principle, is really just opening different kinds of doors for your kids that advance their learning and their self-awareness. And so part of our role as parents is really just to help our kids become self-aware of their wiring and their strengths, like Christy just said, strengths and sort of the challenges associated with that.
Yeah, a great reminder of that is Luke 2:52, which says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And then just kind of breaking that down, like you can just see right here, like growing like Jesus is really in three parts. The first one in wisdom, making choices based on the word of God, in relationship with God, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then in relation to others, loving others as we love ourselves, which is the great command. And so there's just lots of opportunities and experiences that we can learn from.
Yeah, and so you can get really practical, you know, here too, and all kinds of opportunities out there, lots of different ways to do that. In this sort of technology age, one thing that I noticed early on was like the kids did not have great emotional intelligence. Like, to be able to read nonverbal cues, because, you know, there'd be four of them around a table and they're all like texting each other, right? You know, I'm like, look at, he's right here, like, you know. And so we used to just go, you know, we'd go with mom maybe to the mall, and I just, we would sit and I'd be like, hey, see that family over there? Like, tell me what's going on. Are they mad? Are they angry? Are they frustrated? Are they in a hurry? Are they, you know, or even when you're watching a movie, to turn it on mute and go, hey, what's happening? Like, what? Just picking up on those nonverbal cues. And so
I might have done that a few too many times. Because one time Hunter was like, can we just watch the movie? I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So just things like that. You know, we'd role play interactions with our kids. You know, sometimes in the moment, you know, when everybody is, you know, frustrated, is not a great time. So we'd circle back a lot of times and just role play that. Like, how could you have communicated what you were feeling, you know, in a different way? Or how could we have communicated, you know, differently? mission trips, you know, we've done a lot of those kinds of things just in my role here on staff. And so we've, as Christy mentioned, we've taken the boys to Haiti, but you can take them, you know, we do things in South Dallas. We've got 20 plus local ministry partners. And so we used to take our boys over to Brother Bill's Helping Hand to stack cans in the grocery there and to do other kinds of things just to get them out of their normal orbit and to see God at work in a different context or to see kids operating in a different context. You know, sponsoring a compassion kit has been really great, you know, because we get to talk about that child and their environment and read those letters and then, you know, hopefully get to go visit, you know. And so mentoring a student. So we've mentored through Mercy Street. And so Jamichael was kind of part of our family, and the boys got to see different contexts and got to interact with people that were just wired differently than they were.
Yeah, so on the next slide, yeah. I think there's a funny picture of us at Feed My Starving Children with our cute little hats on.
Yeah.
And
maybe not.
Maybe not.
There we go. Yeah, we got to wear some shower caps. The boys were excited about that. Mm-hmm. Except I think Hayden is breaking the rules. That's our strong-willed one. He's got his hat on top of it. Read books together. You know, Hayden is not a reader. And if y'all familiar with, if you remember JP when he was on our staff, not a reader either. And so it was really terrific to get ideas from JP around things to do, you know, with Hayden that wasn't necessarily like, here's a book, we're going to read this together, you know. And so that was good. Responsibility for pets, you know, that's a great one. Not great for our dog Riley, but for the boys, it was great to go, hey, you're accountable, right? And that's what this looks like. And, you know, and it's, you know, before they can have a job, they can have jobs, you know, in your household that you can then give feedback and go, hey, I know you're wired, you're messy and forgetful. So how can we, you know, progressively, you know, clean the house in ways that, you know, make sense? Do you have other thoughts around
that? Yeah, I think the next one is a fun experience we did too, which was we went to beekeeping school. So, you know, for a day. And we just learned as a family, we always just tried to, you know, do something crazy like this. And so just, you know, spending a day learning how honey's made, learning how to take care of bees. And just, you know, there's just so many great opportunities and different things that we can do with our kids today.
Yeah, and, you know, even as they get older and you're thinking about college, like, you know, in this day and age, you don't necessarily have to go to college. And, you know, academics was a challenge, you know, for Hayden. And so when we got to that age, you know, he was graduating high school, we said, Hayden, you know, we have some money saved up for you to go to college. We would love that for you, but that may not be you. And so what if we took even some of this money that we've saved up and we kind of developed a track for you where you get to apprentice with somebody in business and you get to, you know, do some different experiential kinds of things because I know ultimately you want to have your own business. And so we talked that through and ultimately he decided to go to college. But, you know, just again, kind of thinking outside the box is just really helpful for kids that are wired differently than us. And so as we think about what do you think, what are some ways that you guys have done that? Like giving your kids just experiences or opportunities to understand their own wiring. Oh, there's one up here. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'll repeat back, Spencer, if that's easier.
Yeah, so our daughter's 7 now and struggles a lot with, like, materialism and just wanting more and more. So what we've done the last couple of years for Christmas and birthdays is take her on experiences rather than get her more stuff because grandparents are helpful at that as it is, so we don't really need more things around the house.
Yeah.
But finding out the things that she wants to go do and see around the city or even take a quick trip and let her experience things rather
that's
than
great.
Get her more stuff that would...
That's a great idea. You know, and even think about, like, we've got a Christmas campaign coming up here at Watermark, and we've done, like, water wells in the past. We've done different things. And one year, we just took a mason jar of water and, you know, wrapped it up and said, hey, we're giving a gift of water this year as a family. So and here's why we're doing that. And I love that. That's a great idea. What else? Michelle, did you have one?
My middle daughter is dyslexic, so she thinks out of the box completely different than I do, and she's wired totally different than I am. So we just give her chores, and I just let her go. And she has done amazing things with the chores that we give her and just exceeded all expectation. But if I take the expectations off of her, she just does really well herself.
That's awesome. That's terrific. Yep, there's one all the way back there. Yeah.
Okay, so Steph Tyrock here. They are all incredibly athletic, and their middle child is still athletic, but he really likes art. And so he came to them and wanted to make a drawing club and had written a speech out and had a game plan. And so they have all these little neighbor boys over every other Monday for his drawing club. Nice. And it is a hit. Mommies would want to do that.
Are they drawing about sports? No, I'm just kidding.
That's great.
Anything else? These are great. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So we do Trail Life and American Heritage Girls, which is Christian scouting. And that's allowed a lot of opportunities to see my kids do things they would never get to do in a city environment. And stuff I would never knew they were good at unless we'd gotten out into those different activities.
That's a great one. So just campouts and Trail Life, by the way, is like an alternative to Boy Scouts that now Watermark is all in doing. That's awesome. Great idea. Yeah, go ahead. I can shout out the answer too.
So I have more of a question that I don't know if somebody could answer. I have 5 kids, and so my second child is very, very different. He's on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so he likes the quiet and the peace. And then I have other kids that are very, like, energetic and sportsy. And so I'm trying to figure out a way. And my second is very musical. He loves the guitar. He loves the Beatles. And so yes. I'm finding a hard time getting my kids to support each other in their differences, because it's like, well, I don't like that and I don't want to do that, but I'm trying to let go of this expectation that I want us to do everything as a family, like go to the football game. He doesn't want to go to the football game. And so letting him kind of have his peace and quiet while we do certain things as a family, but also fostering that sense of like, we're all wired differently and God has created us with different gifts and that's not a bad thing, but how do you like teach the kids that it's actually a good thing to be different. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like it is a good thing, like the salad bowl that we talked about.
Well, Christy
gets to work with kids on the spectrum.
I do. I'm a speech language pathologist, so I get to work with a lot of students on the spectrum. And I think that what you just asked really leads into the last principle that we're going to talk about today, which is the flop. It's the P, which is just to pray. Mm-hmm. And so in that situation, like, I know sometimes my boys would get frustrated with each other because their wirings are so different. And so like we talked about earlier, like you, like pointing out those positives, right, of the wiring and then also the challenges with our kids. But then having our boys pray for each other and then their responses to one another, I think was helpful. And, you know, just to say, hey, you know, sometimes Hayden can be really impatient, and that might, when he was young, lead him to pushing or shoving his brother or acting very impulsively in a wrong manner. And then Hunter would just, you know, he would just be so devastated by that. Like, why would he do that to me? Why would he, you know, so just explaining like, hey, I don't really think he intended that, but in the moment, that's how he handled that. But praying with them about that was really helpful for us.
You know, also, that's a great question. And one other idea might be, you know, I grew up in a music family, a music ministry kid. So we were like the Partridge Family a little bit, you know, and so we all played musical instruments. And of course, I had all the instruments and I thought, oh, my boys are going to want to play. No, they didn't. They did not want anything to do with it. But I told Christy, like, I don't want them to leave home without having gone to the symphony, for example. And so I picked one of those nights where they play like the Star Wars movie, you know, something that they could connect with. And then they got the music piece. So as I was thinking about your question, maybe there's an opportunity to attend like a music kind of event with the whole family and then go, and let's do a sports thing together. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of that where you can have some overlapping experiences, but I know that's challenging too. Yeah. Thank you for raising that.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Just in regards, because I have a kid who has sensory processing. And so I remember like early on we would go to like the Watermark concert and like two of my kids are like, and another kid's like rolling on the ground, then he goes to the bathroom 5 times, like the music's too loud. Like, so I think sometimes now my kids are all teenagers, and I'm like, you know what, if you want to stay at home, you just stay at home, we'll go. And so I think creating experiences, yes, but also finding the freedom to be like, you know what, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't mean we're not a family if we don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. So, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody likes different things. Yeah, for
Let's
sure.
Let's talk about prayer.
Yeah. All right, so the last one is pray. And so people often ask us, now that our boys are older, hey, what is your best parenting advice?
Your secret.
If you could say one
magic
thing.
Magic bullet.
Yeah, you what?
That's the magic bullet.
The magic bullet. And we always say, hey, our best parenting is done on our knees. And so just, you know, prayer, right? It's just so important. I was often convicted. I would tell Jeff, we would talk about parenting, or I would talk to a friend about parenting, and then all of a sudden God would say, hey, if you spent as much time praying as you are talking about your children, then, you know, that would be a good thing. And so just often convicted about praying more for my two boys and how that looked in my own personal life. And so John 10:27 is just a great reminder. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so we just want to tune our ears to God's voice, and then we also want to help our kids do the same. Our job is to help our kids recognize the voice of God in their lives. And so the way that we do that is just to keep it simple. I know that a lot of times, you know, we pray at mealtime, or you might pray before bed, and those are great. Those are great times to pray. But for us, we just started when the boys were little, just really praying, like for Johnny, who was sick at school, or having boys, they were fascinated by all types of transportation. So when an ambulance passed, we would pray for the person in the ambulance going to the hospital. Just those types of things. So almost like those simple popcorn prayers during the day were really, really helpful. As they get older, we prayed for relationships with girls, for relationships, friendships, and we prayed for upcoming tests. So just immediately. So like I tried when they presented a problem or an anxiety, I tried to listen to that and not fix it, which I sometimes like to do, but then just to follow up and say, hey, let's pray about that right now. And so just making prayer just an everyday part of our lives, where before the end of the day, we've prayed 6 or 7 times, and not long, lengthy prayers. And sometimes we'd pray with our eyes open, right? But just letting them know that at each turn, whatever problem they face, that we could go to God with that, I think was really beneficial for the boys. So I think that's sort of
this is where I get to brag on my wife, Christy, because she is so good at doing what she just said and praying for them and with me, because there is some magic as parents of praying together. Like to hear Christy, you know, in her heart as she prays to God for our kids, does something in me and vice versa. And praying together is a powerful thing. And then praying for our kids, but praying with them, like she just described. And so I put a little picture, that note card, if you walk into our closet, have y'all seen the movie War Room? Okay, so like her closet, and she was covered in prayer and scripture. So like if you walk into our closet, even today with our older kids, it's covered in those little cards with a scripture or a prayer. Or there were times when, you know, the boys have to look at themselves once in the morning in the mirror. And so with the dry erase, right, marker, she would write a scripture or something we're praying about on their mirror. And just constantly kept prayer and would heat that value in our family, and still does. And it's an amazing thing. And so T.A., Timothy Atik, one of our teaching pastors, just challenged the staff a few months ago and just said, hey, you know, we don't want to be a staff who prays. We want to be a praying staff. And I just think that is so true. And we said that in our community group. We don't want to be a community group that prays. We want to be a praying community group. And as parents, we don't want to be parents who pray. We want to be praying parents. And it just, I mean, I just even like the way that that's phrased, that it is an attitude of prayer and there is an activity of prayer. And so we want to, again, like John 10 says, to be attuned to God's voice and help our family do that. And so that is the most important principle. And so lastly, we would just say, man, give yourself a lot of grace, okay? Parenting is tough. And just remember that God loves you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that is foundational. And that's what you want your kids to understand and to hear from you, but more importantly, experience in our household. So we even asked our boys, you know, when they were getting ready to leave, we were like, how would you sum up our parenting? Like in just one phrase. And we were like, I was a little nervous, not going to lie. Hayden said, actions have consequences. But I was like, okay. That's good. You know, I mean, that's our stronghold, right? So that is true. Mm-hmm. And Hunter said that we have a heavenly father who loves us. And I said, yes, thank you. You know, and so that's what we want our kids to really know. So give yourself.
And Hayden said, I agree, but actions have consequences.
Yes, actions have consequences. That is true. Yeah. And so just remember, God is going to accomplish his purposes. He loves your kids more than you do. And so he's got a plan. Our scorecard is faithfulness. And so we wanted you to remember that principle.
And that's what I would say too. Just grace upon grace and just embracing God's design of your kids and just their wiring, and it's different. And just as they grow up, I mean, I can see now just how precious the wiring is in each of them. When they were little and as they were growing up, sometimes I think I missed it because I focused on behavior. And so just now looking back and just going, Lord, thank you for the way you wired them. And I can see how that's played out in college and in jobs and relationships and all of that. So just those key principles, flex, learn, open doors, and then pray were really instrumental in raising our boys.
Yeah, and then the last thing I'd say is on the back of this handout, we just put together some, again, I'm super practical. It's like, give me something walking out of here. Like, so there's some exercises here to help activate on some of these things and some action items. And so, man, we hope that that's a helpful resource to you guys. And so I'm going to pray real quick, and then we've got like about 4 minutes for some additional Q&A, and then Christy and I will hang out outside the doors if we can talk to you further. So how about that? So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for just the truth of your word. Thank you that nothing separates us from your love. Help us to, in our parenting, just protect the relationship with our kids as we shepherd them. Help us to communicate that there is a heavenly Father who is perfect, even while earthly parents are imperfect, who loves our kids and wired them in a certain way, and that there are challenges with that and there are positives to that. And so just grateful. We know that kids are a blessing. And so thank you for this time. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Any questions? If it's hard, I'm going to direct it to Christy. Go ahead.
I've got one. So in the context of understanding how your kids are wired, how do you walk that line? And you guys have kind of spoken a little bit to it, and I appreciate that. So I'd love to hear more on, yes, you're wired this way, but there's still some hard things you got to do. You got to go work at a job that you can't use this as your excuse to not learning certain things. So how do you speak to them? How do you kind of walk that line of saying, yeah, you still have to learn how to do this, even if it's hard for you?
Go ahead.
So, you know, that's a great question because we live in a world, right, where, you know, we do have to show up on time and work for somebody that we're struggling with, right? And so I think what I'd say is if there are ways to ingrain those kinds of things that aren't a huge, that don't have a huge consequence, like they're not old enough yet where they're going to lose their job, but if they've got a job in the house, you know, and they fail to do it at the time that you agreed or in the ways that you do, like we have, like Hunter, for example, he requires a written to-do list. Like, you can't just go, hey, we want you to clean the bathroom and feed the dog. It's like, no, would you send me a to-do list? And he likes to do those. And as long as we give him a deadline, he'll get those done in his timing. But if he doesn't, then we would impose, you know, there'd be consequences to that, you know? And so, so I think, somebody once said, you know, life has a board for every butt. And so I've said to my boys, there have been many times when I've said, hey, you can learn those things here in the home, you know, where the consequences are not huge, or you're going to learn them out there. Either way, you're going to learn this principle, right? And so, like, let's double down and work together on it. So is that helpful? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, too, like, always kind of with the end in mind, right? Like, you know, like you, use job as an example. That's a good example. Like, always kind of even in elementary school, you know, teaching our boys, like, hey, it's due at a certain time. And someday when you're at work, things are going to be due. And, you know, if you might have a teacher that's a little more understanding, but if you don't turn that into your boss, we would ask them questions like, what do you think your boss is going to say? What would happen to you? And you have two kids at home, just kind of walking them through that, even middle school, high school, like, oh, I might get fired from my job. So making them understand that those decisions, right, lying, not turning things in on time, you know, those things have impacts. And in the home, the impact isn't as great as, like you said, when they grow up and they're on their own or they have a family or they have a job.
And then there's just even some funny ways that you can do that. Like, one example is that Hayden was in charge of cleaning the bathroom. And I went in and I go, is this clean? You feel good about this? He goes, oh, yeah, this is amazing.
I go,
how would you feel if I put a potato chip on the toilet bowl? And then how'd you eat it? This is a safe place, right? Nobody's going to turn me into CPS. And he goes, oh, I could do that, Dad. You know, and so, you know, and then I did it. I put it on the toilet. He wouldn't eat it. And I go, like, let's clean it again. You know, and so there's some funny ways to kind of put this in practice. How about one more? We got time for one more?
I'll just, I don't know if y'all can answer this, but I just have a kid who's really selfish, and it's even got to the point where my other two kids are like, she's really selfish. And I'm like, and I just get, like, I feel like all the time we're trying to, like, here's the mirror. And it's, I mean, she's a 13-year-old girl, so, you know, that's just part of it. But can you speak into that at all? Because
it's just... We have one of our sons tends to be more selfish than the other two. And so, I mean, we're all selfish, yes. Right? We're all selfish. Yeah. But I think especially with technology in our world today and looking back at yourself. But, we're just constantly trying to, like Jeff was saying earlier, I think those service opportunities are great and great ways to build into your kids that we live in a world that God cares about everyone, not just us, right? And so we're just constantly trying to help our boys understand the world we live in and give them opportunities so that they can serve and love others. And I feel like that's one verse they left home with is that Jesus, you know, came to serve, not to serve others. And so I use that a lot when those selfish moments happen. But just that constant, I think, reminder really helped us. And going and physically serving and, you know, being for other people. Just, I think it kind of gets them out of that a little bit. I think, too, staying home, isolation, technology, all of those things, they help, they make us selfish, right? They make everyone because you're just thinking about you. But when you're out and you're busy and you're in activities, it helps you get your mind off you and onto others. So for us, that was really beneficial.
Well, our time is up, but we're grateful for you guys. Thank you all for being here at this conference and grateful for y'all coming.
Yeah, thank you.